Hello, hello, hello. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Transformational Lift, where we specialize in transforming your mind, body, and lifestyle. I'm your host, LaMail Spain, better known as Optimus Prime by my True Transformers. I am also known as now Moses because I help people break the chains from their mindset bondage, as well as I'm known as Harriet Tubman because I help people achieve freedom from their dis-ease state. Today we'll be concentrating on the topic of transforming your mind and body. The name of this topic is called the mind-body connection. We will start with our quote. First one says, the body achieves what the mind conceives. Unknown. Again, the quote reads, the body achieves what the mind conceives, and that's from an unknown source. The next one is from Loretta Lanfer, and it reads, the cells in your body reacts to everything that your mind says. Negativity brings down your immune system. I want to really read this one and I want you really to pay attention. It says, the cells in your body reacts to everything that your mind says. Negativity brings down your immune system. And that's from Loretta Lanfer. The next one is an unknown source, and it says, God in his infinite wisdom did not compartmentalize humans. Again, that's from an unknown source, and it reads, God in his infinite wisdom did not compartmentalize humans. Now, the last one is from Dr. Joe Dispenza, where it reads, the power that creates the body heals the body. Again, Dr. Dispenza said, the power that created the body heals the body. 75% of all ailments are functional instead of organic. John Hopkins did a study that stated that 70% of the diseases that people have come from psychosomatic, which means it's mind-body. I want to read that stat slowly because I'm not talking fast, you're just listening slow. John Hopkins did a research project that stated that 70% of the diseases that people have come from psychosomatic, which means the 70% of the diseases comes from mind-body. What this means is the organ is being disturbed by the nervous system response to negative beliefs in your subconscious mind. You can't separate the mind from the body. The mind is so powerful. Every thought has a physical reaction. Every thought has a chemical reaction in the body. That chemical reaction is called emotion. Emotions are the end products of experiences. Again, emotions are the end product of experiences. And every thought, again, has a physical reaction. So, thought is the language of the mind, whereas feelings and emotions are the language of the body. Every thought that is expected becomes a reality. I want you to really Take this in. Every thought that is expected becomes a reality or becomes realized. So every thought that is expected becomes realized. Emotion, the definition is just energy in motion. Your emotions are more powerful than knowledge. Check this out. Your emotions are more powerful than knowledge. Now, you've heard me say on other podcasts that on a daily basis, you have over 80,000 thoughts that you experience. And 90% of those 80,000 thoughts are repeated thoughts. 90% of those 80,000 thoughts that you have on a daily basis are repeated thoughts. Now, I'm going to go into the rules of your mind. Your mind is what it thinks you want it to do. Your mind works in pictures and words. Your mind does what is familiar and stays away from what is unfamiliar. So that's why it's kind of hard when you're trying to break a habit, because the mind actually wants to gravitate to what is familiar. The mind works through repetition, and more importantly, or more specifically, the subconscious mind actually works through repetition. When dealing with the subconscious mind and its effort, the greater the conscious effort is, the less the subconscious mind responds. I give you an example. You know how you have a thought, you're trying to think of a name of the person, you know you can see it in your mind, the person, but you can't come up with their name, and you try and you try and you try and you try, and it seems like the more you try, the more the answer runs away from you. Well, that's how the subconscious mind works. When you're dealing with the subconscious mind and its efforts, the greater the conscious effort is, the less the subconscious mind responds. When you leave that thought alone and start to pick up something else, and you just tell the subconscious mind, I need this answer, it will immediately start working and searching, and it brings up the answer that you was looking for maybe a couple of minutes later. I know it to be true because I was on this podcast one time and I was trying to think of the running back that used to be for the Carolina Panthers, D'Angelo Williams, and I couldn't come up with his name. And I remember, if you go back into the archives, I even said it, subconscious mind, give me the name of the player that played for the Panthers, that was the running back. And I went on with the show, and lo and behold, a couple of minutes later, boom, D'Angelo Williams' name came into my mind, and I was able to make the point that I was trying to make. So, again, when you're dealing with the subconscious mind and its effort, the greater the conscious effort is, the less the subconscious mind responds. Once an idea is placed in the subconscious mind, it stays there until it's replaced with a new idea. Your conscious mind is your rational mind, is your thinking mind. It has the power to accept or reject. Now, on the opposite end, the subconscious mind is your emotional mind, your habit-forming mind, And it can't reject anything. It has to accept everything that is impressed upon it. So that's the difference between the subconscious and the conscious mind. Now, also too, the longer the idea remains, the longer an idea stays. The longer the idea remains, the longer an idea stays. The mind cannot have conflicting beliefs about anything. I want you to understand, the mind cannot have conflicting beliefs about anything. So if you believe a certain thing, you can't actually also believe something else and think that the results are going to happen, because you have two conflicting ideas that's going on. And usually, if it's impressed in your subconscious mind, which is 95% of the total mind, usually the emotional mind, the happy-forming mind, is going to always beat out and overpower your 5% conscious mind, your rational mind. 95% of the mind is your subconscious mind, like I said, which is your emotional mind or your habit-forming mind. The Jesuits said, give me a child for the first 7 years of that child's life, and I will tell you what that child is going to become and what they're going to be as a person for the rest of their life. And that's because the first 7 years of your life is when you're producing and you are impressing paradigms, which are just a series of habits. So the Jesuits basically said, give me a child for the first 7 years of their life, and I'll tell you what that child is going to be for the rest of their life. That's because most people are running off of programs that have been impressed in their subconscious mind, and they're running on it unconsciously. The other 5%, like I said, is your conscious mind. And that's your thinking mind or your rational mind. Now, Dr. Bruce Lipton said that 95% of people's day is ran by programs that are coming out of their subconscious mind. I'm going to say that statement one more time. Dr. Bruce Lipton said that 95% of people's day is ran by programs that are coming out of their subconscious mind. That's almost the whole day. You are unconsciously running a program the whole day that you are awake. 95%. The other 5% is your conscious mind or your thinking mind, your rational mind. These are habits that people run unconsciously, i.e. your body, without you even thinking what is going on. Now, I want to talk about how stress and worry, how this comes into play. Stress is simply a person feeling as if they are not in control. That's what stress is. You are not in a homeostatic state. Now, stress is actually natural, and animals and humans go through stress. However, the difference is animals, when they are stressed out, once they get out of danger, they go back to their steady state, their homeostatic state. We as humans, we don't do that. Usually, we go through the stressful situation, And then we replay that stressful situation over and over. Remember, 80,000 thoughts, 90% of those 80,000 thoughts are repeated thoughts. So, stress is simply a person feeling as if they are not in control. Stress and worry can affect our physical and emotional health in many ways. Physically, it can affect the nervous system and cause a variety of problems. It can also affect the musculoskeletal system because causing the person to have headaches and muscle tension. The respiratory system can be adversely affected, causing hyperventilation that can lead to panic attacks. Stress can also affect the cardiovascular system, increase heart rate and arterial inflammation or artery inflammation. The adrenal system, with excessive stress hormones released, as well as the gastrointestinal system with acid reflux and stomach ulcers, constipation, irritable bowel syndrome, or IBS as is known, or diarrhea. And your reproductive system can be affected, causing the male to have lower sperm production, absence of irregular menstrual cycle for females. It also can cause emotional problems, in which it can cause anxiety, depression, sleep deprivation, and more. Stress is the body's response to changes that create the taxing demands on the body. Bob Proctor talked about this in his model, Ignorance versus Knowledge. Remember, I went over that a couple of weeks ago, in which ignorance is simply not knowing, and it causes the energy to flow into your conscious mind as worry and doubt. And then, if the answer is not obtained, it impresses upon the subconscious mind as fear. And then, once that fear sets up in the subconscious mind, it impresses upon the body as anxiety, and the anxiety turns into depression. Remember, John Hopkins basically said 70% of the diseases people are walking around with come from psychosomatic. And going back to Bob's model, that negative energy goes into the mind as ignorance, because you don't know what's going on, you don't have an answer. It sets up in your conscious mind as worry and doubt then impresses upon the subconscious mind, the 95% running mind, the emotional mind, the habit forming mind, as fear. And once it sets up as fear, because it can't be it only can accept, it can't reject anything. And then it impresses upon your body as anxiety. And that anxiety is suppressed, is never expressed, and is bottled down. And that anxiety, which is suppressed, turns into depression. And then that depression, if it isn't taken care of, and you don't get the answers that you're looking for, it slowly but surely breaks the body down into a dis-ease state, a disease, as people call it, disease, but it's a dis-ease. The body's at an unease state. Now, of course, if that disease doesn't get taken care of, the final conclusion is death. I know it, I've seen it, and I've almost experienced it personally. But anyway, going into the stats on stress. According to the American Institute of Stress, about 33% of people report feeling extreme stress. 77% of people experience stress that affects their physical health. 73% of people have stress that impacts their mental health. I'm going to give you those stats one more time. And this is coming from the American Institute of Stress. About 33% of people report feeling extreme stress. 77% of people experience stress that affects their physical health. And then 73% of people have stress that affects their mental health. Now, 36% of all adults who reported stress in the previous year cited either their own or a friend slash relative's long-term health condition as a factor. So 36% of all the adults who reported having stress the previous year, last year, cited either their own or a friend or relative was the long-term health condition of their factor of having stress. This rose to 44% of adults over 55. And those who reported feeling stress in the past year, 22% cited debt as a stressor. So that's financial. Financial situations cause stress. Remember, I gave the stat that 70% of people walk around in survival mode, which mainly is stress. Remember, I talked about that, I want to say last week, survival versus creation. And I gave that stat. 70% of people walk around in survival mode. And when you're in survival mode, you use up a lot of energy. That when you use up a lot of energy, you don't have enough energy even to deal with illness, if that's what you are trying to, you know, get rid of. You don't have enough energy to heal. You don't have enough energy to actually reproduce or create, because it's been used up, it's been zapped due to you being in survival mode. Now, there's good stress that we should be getting, and then there's bad stress. Exercise is good stress. In the definition of the word, exercise is the word stress. You're stressing your body out, but it's good stress. And like I said, just like with animals, you go through that period of stress, but then once you're done with that stress, you go back to a homeostatic steady state. Here are five good stresses, or eustresses, and what they are characterized by. Motivation, focus, energy. It's short term. Like I said, exercise, short term. It's perceived as within our coping ability, and it has feelings of excitement and improved performance. Those are character traits or characteristics of good stress. Now, here are five examples of creating a meaningful life and show that stress isn't always bad. These are five examples. One could be traveling. Two could be falling in love. Remember, we talked about how your body is a pharmacy. And remember, the cuddle hormone, remember, the oxytocin, that's you falling in love. Oxytocin is the cuddle hormone. So, one of the good examples and meaningful life is falling in love. Another one is gradual exposure to things that are meaningful but make you feel afraid or that are not making you feel afraid or uncomfortable. So a gradual exposure to things that are meaningful but not make you feel afraid or uncomfortable. Another one could be change, and then the last one is being a beginner. Now, on the other hand, we all know what our bad stress. We all know what bad stress is. Some of us dealing with it right now. But bad stress is called distress, and it's characterized by a cause of anxiety or concern by Proctor's model. Remember, that's the body actually expressing that fear that was in the subconscious mind, but it causes anxiety or concern. It can be short or long term. Usually it's more long term than short, because you're dealing with ignorance, simply not knowing. It's perceived as outside of our coping ability, feels unpleasant, decreases performance, and can lead to mental and physical problems. Those were all character traits of bad stress or distress. Now, here are some examples of distress or bad stress. The death of a spouse or loved one, filing for divorce, losing contact with a loved one, the death of a family member, hospitalization, injury or illness, being abused or neglected, separation from a spouse or committed relationship partner, conflict in interpersonal relationships, bankruptcy or money problems, unemployment, sleep problems, children problems at school, legal problems. All of those are examples of distress or bad stress. Now, adrenal fatigue is when the adrenal cortex has been overly worked and doesn't have the ability to shut off, causing every simple situation to be perceived as a distress or a negative stressful situation, causing the adrenals to release cortisol, i.e. adrenal. That's what I was going through with the early stages of my multiple sclerosis. Because I love to exercise, remember, that's a good stress, you stress. The body didn't know whether it was good stress or bad stress, distress. And so it still was pumping out cortisol, because the body, like we talked about last week, it's unconscious. And all it's trying to do is survive and to protect. But because I was exercising, it didn't care. It felt like he's stressing himself out, and it pumped cortisol. So you got to actually know what to do and to react accordingly. Here are 6 strategies to help you. The first one is stop worrying. Instead of worrying about things we cannot control, we should control our worry. Control what you can control and don't really focus on those things that are out of your control. So the first one is stop worrying. The second one is stop upsetting yourself. Again, it goes back to at the beginning of this episode, I said how people that feel like they are lacking control usually deal with stress. That's usually the main culprit of their stress. They feel like they have no control over the situation. So stop upsetting yourself. Number three, take time for yourself. And that could be seen as meditating, just breathing, because we've talked about the importance of breath work and getting the oxygen to flow into your body and to help with the cells and things of that nature. So take time for yourself. Number four is get proper rest. Number five is eat healthy food choices. That sugary processed food is not good for you, especially if you're trying to achieve health and do things to be beneficial for you and your health. So eat healthy food. And then the last one is learn to recognize tension and let that be a trigger or a signal to purposely relax. So those are just six strategies that can help you to deal with your stress. My final thoughts are this. It is up to you to actually control the energy that is flowing into you, whether it be shaped into something negative or shaped into something positive. But the choice is yours. You have that choice. Your emotions actually cause you to condition your body, which is your unconscious mind. Your body is your unconscious mind, to react to whatever the stress is that you perceive as either being good or bad. The mind is connected to the body, and we sometimes are shunned at crying, which is really beneficial for our health. Crying is good. Those tears that you shed actually have cortisol in them. So when you try to hold that stuff in, you're actually being a detriment to yourself and your health. So cry. Crying is good. I've said this on other podcasts. If Jesus could cry, hell, you could cry. It's in the Bible. Jesus wept, one of the shortest scriptures known to man. If Jesus could cry, you could cry. What make you think you better than him? Again, research has documented that the tears that we shed actually has cortisol in them. Dr. Gabor Mate once said that the tears that aren't used in crying will manifest in the organs, so it is best to express the issue through releasing it, through your tears. Let me read this real slow so that you can understand it. Dr. Gabor Mate once said that the tears that aren't used in crying will manifest in the organs, so it is best to express the issue through releasing it through your tears. So, as we have actually looked at how the mind and the body are connected, they're not compartmentalized, I hope that it has been beneficial to show you that all of this, when it works like it was supposed to and was designed to work, you have the key to actually get out of the bondage, the dis-ease, the mind bondage that you're going through. So, I hope you have a great rest of your day. I hope you have an awesome end of your week. And I hope you have an amazing weekend. And I will see you next week for the next episode of The Transformational Lift. I talk to you then. Bye.